For anybody who didn't listen to those, they're on our website that you can listen to them. We looked at Zechariah, the one who would be the father to the Messiah's forerunner. We looked at Mary, the one, of course, who would bear the Messiah himself. And then we looked at Elizabeth, the one who would bear the forerunner, the one who came before the Messiah. Then last night at our Christmas Eve service, we started looking at Jesus himself. So this is kind of the conclusion of that part. And the verses that we looked at last night were Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We'll be in Luke chapter 2 again this morning. The time last night in God's word was called Chosen the Son. And that especially came from verse 7 of Luke 2. So this morning, I'm going to go ahead and continue on in Luke 2. I'm going to be reading from verse 8 all the way through verse 20. And this time we're going to focus on Chosen Christ the Lord. So this is reading in the New American Standard Bible, and that's the Pew Bible. Author Luke says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. So the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army of angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed about the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." Amen. So I'm going to zip through these verses with some comments, and then we're actually going to come back and we'll focus a little bit on verse 11. Verse 11 is kind of the key place for us this morning. By verse 8, Jesus had been born and laid in a manger in this trough that was normally used for feeding animals. So verse 8 mentions in the same region. So it wasn't that the shepherds were in Bethlehem itself, they were outside of Bethlehem. The fact that the shepherds, plural, were keeping watch probably means that they were taking turns keeping watch throughout the night. So there were some that were awake. This contributes to the sense of shock and surprise for them, for their reaction, right? Some were awake, keeping the watch. Other ones were sleeping because it wasn't their shift. Some Bibles, depending on which one you brought with you this morning, some Bibles say that an angel appeared to them. But the verb usually means to stand. Now, the root of that word for standing is the same as when the angel Gabriel stood in the holy place of the temple next to Zechariah. So that's something that we saw weeks ago. But it's a slightly modified version of that verb here in Luke 2. And it means that the angel stood right next to the shepherds. And that is a big reason why they were terribly frightened, as the New American Standard says, or terrified, as other versions say. So this combination of suddenness and brightness in the dark of the night, and if you've been camping, if you've ever been out in a place where there are no city lights, it's really dark, so dark that you can see stars and things like that. Imagine this suddenness and this brightness in the dark of the night. In an event that was clearly supernatural, it was an event that was thoroughly scary. So in verse 10, the angel begins to reassure them, to say, you know, I'm bringing you good news of great joy. Or as the New International Version says, it would be good news that would cause great joy. So there are various Bible versions. If you look at your verse 10, there are various versions that will say that this was good news for all people. There's even one version that says everyone, but the correct wording is for all the people, and the people was a reference specifically to the Israelites. It was a nickname referring to Israel and Israelites. There are plenty of other places in the New Testament that make clear that the coming of Jesus was for the whole world. We'll actually see one very soon. But for these shepherds, they were Israelites, and the angel was conveying a message to them that would make sense to them as Israelites. So what was that good news? Verse 11, today in the city of David, in other words, in Bethlehem, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So we're going to come back to that latter part of verse 11 soon. We're going to focus on that second half of that verse. But for now, I just want to go ahead and clarify one thing. There are a few Bibles that I saw as I compared them that say is born, for is born. And so I think somebody might read that and they might think, oh, like is being born? Like at that moment, the shepherds are hearing this at the very moment that Christ is being born. The answer to that is no, because it actually says literally was born. So it's a past event. This means that the shepherds were told about, I think this was maybe to give Mary a little bit of time, right, before they would come. God in his mercy, it makes it so that they were actually going to end up arriving because the birth had happened earlier. So in verse 12 says that the shepherds would find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We're not talking about a prediction. We're not talking about something that is a future event yet to take place. It was a description of what had already happened with Jesus, where he already was. So you may think to yourself, well, why was that described as a sign? Why was that like to be a special indicator to them? And it's because although it was common in that culture to wrap up a baby nice and tight, keeps them warm, keeps them secure. Some of you, you know, we've been in cultures in South America where they do the exact same thing. They wrap them up, they keep them secure. That was common. But to find a baby lying in an animal's feeding trough was not common. Then verse 13 says that suddenly there appeared with the one angel a multitude of the heavenly host, is the traditional wording. Whereas our Pew Bible says, and this, if you only have the traditional wording, you may not be used to this wording, but our Pew Bible says, the heavenly army of angels. So the New Living Translation describes them as the armies of heaven. To really get the impact of why these angels suddenly appeared, okay? Why they suddenly appeared, number one, we need to understand that these angels were the heavenly army. And then two, we need to understand who Joshua 5:15 is referring to. So Old Testament, Joshua 5:15 refers to the captain of the heavenly host, or as a lot of modern Bibles have it, the commander of the Lord's army. That's how numerous Bibles have it, the commander of the Lord's army. And when you study that verse in Joshua, in its context, you come to the conclusion that this is an Old Testament appearance of God the Son. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ. So one reason why the multitude of the heavenly army of angels suddenly praises God is because they can't contain themselves anymore. Their commander, God the Son, has humbled himself to such a degree that he's taken on human flesh, even as a baby lying in an animal's trough. It was so amazing that heaven's armies had to give a heavenly hooah, or whatever military branch it is that you prefer. So now, although Linus on the Charlie Brown special says, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. For verse 14, all modern Bibles reference the oldest manuscripts that we have of Luke, which say, and unearth peace among men with whom he, God, is pleased. So how is God pleased with people? He's most pleased when they place their faith in his son that he sent to earth. So the angels were saying, may there be peace among all people, not just the Israelites, among all people who place their faith in the Son. After the angels then departed into heaven, the shepherds were intent on finding what the angel had said to them, and they took it as being from God himself, right? Verse 16 says that the shepherds found their way. A lot of Bibles just say found. New American Standard is trying to help that a little bit by saying found their way, because it's a bit hard to see this in English. But the implication from that verb is that it took some searching, that there was searching before they found. So Bethlehem was not a big place, and so they probably spread out. And they went around asking, do you know of a newborn that's been placed in a feeding trough? Do you know of a newborn that's been placed in a feeding trough? And that's how they found him. When verse 17 says that the shepherds made known the statement which had been told them, they weren't just saying that to Mary and to Joseph. There must have been others that were present. Because verse 18 says, and all who heard it were amazed. And meanwhile, Mary treasured up everything being said. She was comparing it mentally, is the idea of what's going on there. She's comparing mentally what had been said to her. Most likely through Elizabeth, she was also comparing what had been said to Zechariah. And she was thinking about it all and turning it over in her head over and over. Okay, we're going to finish just by what it says in that second half of verse 11. So last night at our Christmas Eve service, I focused especially on verse 7. I talked about Jesus being the Son, that was important. And I said that Jesus was the Son in two ways. It was a reference to Jesus being truly human. The Messiah was to be a real human being. But that Jesus was also the Son in the sense of being God's unique, one and only Son. So the phrase, the Son, reflects Jesus' humanity as well as his divinity. The second half of verse 11 communicates those same things. The phrase in verse 11 is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So last night we saw that the Christ, the Messiah, was to be both human and divine. And we even looked a little bit at some Old Testament scriptures, prophecies that had showed that. But the baby here in verse 11, the baby referred to here in verse 11, he's God, and that's emphasized by the angel saying that the baby was Savior and that he was the Lord. You might happen to hear somebody say sometime, or you might happen to see in a Bible commentary, well, you know, in that time, the Romans, they called the emperor Savior. So that's culturally what the shepherds were probably thinking about. But we have to remember that the shepherds were Israelites. When the scriptures closed for the Old Testament, right? The Jewish scriptures, our Old Testament, when they closed about 400 years before this time, this is what's so important. At the end of the Old Testament, only one was being referred to as Savior, and it was God himself. So you just do a word search. Look at the last books of the Bible that were written for the Old Testament. And you're going to see that the only reference to Savior is to God. So for Jews, at that time, the only Savior was God. And then we have this phrase, Christ the Lord, the one that was born that day in Bethlehem, was the Lord. A lot of you probably already know this, but I'll just say it for those who don't. So the word Lord, that is in New Testament Greek, it has three basic meanings. One was to respectfully address someone, kind of like we would use sir nowadays. It was also a way that a slave or a bondservant would refer to their master. And it was also, number three, a reference to God. When the Jewish scriptures were translated to Greek, where the Hebrew had the word Yahweh, or some people would know it as Jehovah, in that place, New Testament Greek used the Lord. So you put all that together, and the shepherds would have been astounded at what the angel was saying. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. For our international visitors, I don't know if you can emphasize something by moving a word forward in a sentence. But if anybody knows Spanish, you know that this is true. You can change word order and emphasize something by putting that word forward in the sentence. It's the same thing in New Testament Greek. When something is moved to the beginning of the sentence, it is being emphasized. So for us, I sometimes tell the congregation, you can underline that word because it's what's being emphasized. You may not believe this, but the word that's being emphasized in verse 11 is the word born. There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Truly human, truly God, born. That is the impact we are to feel when we read what we call the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. It's true, Jesus was the chosen. He was the one designated in God's plan to be the Messiah. He was the one to have a kingdom that would never end. And in God's plan, there were others that were also chosen to have a part in that plan too. But now, at the moment, God taking on flesh, that time had come, as had been predicted. And although nearly all Israelites did not understand it, it was also in God's plan that the Messiah would come not one time, but two times. He would have two comings. In his first coming, it would culminate with his sacrificial death, followed by his being raised to new life, with the second coming to come later in time. God had to take on flesh because only one perfect and sinless could provide the perfect sacrifice for sin. He had to be truly human in order to truly die. He had to be divine in order to provide the perfect sacrifice. That was God's plan. Now, there's more to God's plan. Not just the entrance of the God the Son, the Messiah, into history. There's more to God's plan, and that's where we're actually going to end up this Christmas series a week from today. For now, at this time of year, we are meant to have an abiding sense of awe that on that day in the city of David was born a Savior, the chosen. Christ the Lord. And it's my deep hope that you carry with you a sense of that amazing awe, not just during the season, but always, that you can be one of those people with whom God is pleased, that you can have this peace that is talked about by the angels inside, and it's a peace that will stay no matter what because of accepting in faith the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about that, I would love to talk to you. We're going to go ahead and close our service in prayer soon. First, we're going to go ahead and sing hymn 151. So grab your hymnals and turn to 151.